Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, based on the book by Henry Blackaby. In this section, we'll be looking at John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Do You Know God? Part 1. Let's read that passage, John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Why? What is it that man glories in primarily? Well, wisdom, education and experience, might, youth and strength, and riches, money and influence. This is primarily what man glories in. Yet Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, it reads, Thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So what should be the focus of man's glory? Well, understanding and knowing God. Understanding has to do with information about the Lord. Knowing has to do with experience with the Lord. Knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ is not the same as experiencing Him. What is the purpose of the Christian life? Well, the key to life is found in John chapter 17, verse 3 of our text for this session. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Know the Father, know the Son. You must be saved. It is impossible to understand simple spiritual truth without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 affirms that. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Knowing God is not simply knowledge about God, but knowing God himself in a relationship. Know God through experience. A personal experience is required to know Him, but it is God who reveals Himself to you first. There are nearly 600 names for God in the Scriptures. Why so many names? Well, those who were confronted by God saw and experienced many of his traits. And then the person gave God a name as a result. The Bible is a record of God's revelation to man. Abraham was called to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. The record of that event is found in Genesis chapter 22. Let's read and focus in on verses 8 and 14. The Lord will provide. But let's begin at verse 1 of Genesis 22. And let's take a look at that. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. But Isaac, dropped down to verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Just focus in on two verses there. Verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And then verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Faith that demands an adjustment and obedience while trusting the Lord to provide his needs, to provide for needs. Faith that demands an adjustment of life and obedience while trusting the Lord to provide for needs. Have you experienced God that way? Well, let's take a look at another example. Moses was overseeing the battle of the Amalekites. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 15, referring to the Lord as my banner. Verse 8 of Exodus 17. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the mount of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. Again, Moses, in verse 15 there, Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. A banner is a standard that goes before an army. Well, we are the Lord's army. Now, let me give you another one. God sent an inadequate Moses to Egypt to get the Israelites from Pharaoh's slavery. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 3 down to verse 14, where God identifies himself as I am who I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. At verse 14, again, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. The Lord is the Eternal One. He's everything that we ever need. He calls himself I am. Not I was or I will be, but I am. Present tense. Because he is eternal. He is everything that we could possibly ever need. Why does God reveal himself this way? So that we may know him personally by experience. John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How do you know God, for example, how do you know God as your comforter in sorrow? Well, by experiencing his comfort in those times of sorrow. We also must know God by His nature. And just for a moment, consider three aspects of God's nature. First, God is love. His will is always right. Everything is motivated by love. Even His discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. The ultimate expression of God's love was the cross of Calvary. God is His love. God is all-knowing. His directions are always right. No mistakes. No mistakes at all. He's also all-powerful. He can empower us to do His will. Things that are contrary even to our finite thinking and understanding. Well, let me ask you, how big is God? Well, in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 10 and 11, talking about God, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. The key is doing God's will by His power. Noah built a big boat. Gideon defeated 120,000. The disciples of Jesus healed and cast out demons. And then there's Paul and all that he accomplished. So, let me put a question out there for you. What is God's will for my life? Wait a minute. Is that even the right question to ask? John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. The right question is, what is God's will? Focus on God's will and His purposes, not my life. So, where do I start? Well, begin at your basic relationship with God through Jesus Christ. By abiding in Christ, first of all, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So by abiding in Christ, by taking Christ's yoke, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And by allowing Christ to lead you, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember Abram's call back there in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3? Well, God seldom gives out many details on the front end. It's all about faith and trust. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The issue is not my life, but God's will. and His purposes. Or, expressed in another way, being God's servant. But that's for next time. The rest of this introduction. You have a great day.